The good news according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Matthew 20, verses 1 to 16. For the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And going out about the third hour, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And to them he said, "You go into the vineyard too, and whatever is right, I will give you." So they went. Going out again about the sixth hour and the ninth hour, he did the same. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing. And he said to them, "Why do you stand here idle all day?" They said to him, "Because no one has hired us." He said to them, "You go into the vineyard too." And when evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Call the laborers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last up to the first." And when those hired about the 11th hour came, each of them received a denarius. Now when those hired first came, they thought that they would receive more, but each of them also received a denarius. And on receiving it, they grumbled at the master of the house, saying, "These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat." But he replied to one of them, "Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last worker as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or do you begrudge my generosity?" So the last will be first, and the first last. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Well, some of you know that for many years I've been a big fan of a radio program and now a podcast called The White Horse Inn. It features a bunch of theologians sitting around talking about theological issues, which I know sounds really exciting, but to each their own. On a recent episode, they aired some interviews they'd conducted, sort of man on the street style interviews with random people. The question they posed was this: what do you think of the Bible? Well, one young woman answered this way: "Well, I'm a Christian, so I believe the Bible, and it tells people how they should live, and it just spreads the message of be nice to everybody. Be nice to your neighbors, be nice to your friends, be nice to your enemies. And that's not a bad message to be spreading around." The interesting thing about these man-on-the-street interviews is how similar the responses were, regardless of whether the person being interviewed was a Christian or not. Regardless of what faith or lack of faith the interviewee professed, almost everybody's assessment of the Christian message was be nice and do good. And their assessment of the Bible was that it's a guidebook to encourage you toward that goal. So what's wrong with that? Why would I bring this up as if it were a negative? You know, one of the panelists on this podcast, after listening to several of these interviews where Christianity was described as a religion of be nice and do good, she made an interesting comment. She said, "This is why our neighbors think all religions are basically the same. It doesn't really matter if you're Christian or Muslim or Buddhist or if you have faith in Oprah. It doesn't matter. The vast majority of Americans believe the fundamental message is the same for all religions. Be nice. Be a good person. What goes around comes around. God rewards hard work. Believe in karma. Do good and you'll get good in return. God or fate will see to it. You know, if that's true, if the message of Christianity is be nice, work hard, follow the rules, and you'll get what you deserve, if that's the message of the Bible, those workers in the parable we just read have a legitimate beef. And I'm sure you would agree with them. It's an absolutely outrageous idea to any of us that those workers who started at 6 a.m. and worked hard in the vineyard all day in the hot sun for 12 hours, it's awfully hard to understand why they got paid exactly the same as those who were hired at the 11th hour at 5 p.m. and only worked 1 hour. It makes no sense. In fact, it's an unfair outrage. It's ridiculous. And yet, this parable represents the kingdom of God and how it works. Here's the issue. The core of the Christian faith, the essence of the message of the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, is not an admonition that you do good and you be nice and you'll get rewarded. In fact, Romans 3 and Psalm 14 and Psalm 53 and Mark 10 and other places point out that no one is good. The focus of the Christian faith and the focus of the Bible is not on what you do or on what you accomplish or on how hard you work or on what you deserve. The focus is on what Christ has done. The essence of the Bible from Genesis to Revelation is the wonderful announcement that you don't get what you deserve. And thanks be to God, because you get far, far better than you deserve. That's true no matter how much time you've spent in the vineyard. The focus of the Christian faith and the focus of the Bible is on what Christ has done. And everything He accomplished is for your benefit. If you understand that, you won't begrudge the denarius paid to someone else. You'll be overjoyed that you've received a denarius yourself. You can't earn God's good gifts. You can't earn God's mercy and compassion toward you. You can't earn God's kindness or intervention in your life. You can't earn forgiveness and salvation. All those things are gifts. In fact, some of you can quit trying so hard and relax. Be at peace. And rest. You'll receive the gifts of God because He loves you. No other reason than that. You know, that doesn't mean that there won't be what we perceive to be unfairness in life. Just yesterday morning, I officiated at the committal service of Susie Hingson's older brother, Mark, who died this past summer. Near the end of the ceremony, Susie's 90-year-old father stood up and very eloquently questioned the fairness of things when a 90-year-old man lives and his 62-year-old son dies. Some of you here have experienced the same unfairness. And I don't have an answer for it, other than to say that our perspective is limited. And yet we do know that God's mercy and compassion is unlimited. You know, at the end of a different parable, the parable of the prodigal son, after the prodigal son has come home from squandering his inheritance, after having insulted his father and acting shamefully, desperate, despairing, and despondent, the prodigal son came home, had nowhere else to go. And as he came into view that day, the father ran to his son and threw his arms around him and threw a luxurious robe over his naked shoulders and put a ring bearing the family insignia on his finger, signifying that he was still his son. And then the father threw a lavish feast. Everyone was singing and dancing and whooping it up, everyone except the prodigal son's older brother. Just like the workers in the parable of the vineyard who arrived at work early, the brother of the prodigal was angry at the unfairness of it all. And when the father encouraged his older son to join the party, his son responded, "Look, all these many years I have served you, and I never disobeyed your command. And yet you never gave me even a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours comes home, this son who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you kill the fatted calf for him." And the father replied, "Your brother was dead, and now he's alive. He was lost, and now he's found. Let's celebrate and be merry." You know, as unfair as it sounds, you can't earn God's mercy. You'll never deserve the compassion God pours down upon you. And whether you're an older brother or a prodigal son, whether you're a worker in the vineyard who shows up at 6 a.m. or one hired at the 11th hour, regardless, God's goodness toward you is overwhelming. His love for you never ceases. He will never leave you. So you can relax and quit trying so hard. In fact, celebrate and be merry. In God's eyes, you're righteous and holy because Jesus died for you. It's nothing you did. You are accepted and loved by God just as you are. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, this message makes no sense in our world. It only makes sense in the kingdom of God that we who deserve nothing receive everything. Lord, help it to sink in and cause it to fill us with gratitude toward you and humility before one another. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.